She was always with me.
I'd like to call the Legislative Administration Committee, the Oregon State Legislature, into session. It is May 29th, 2014. We're in here, Room A. It's about 10:01 a.m. in the morning. I'd like to open a public hearing and possible work session and a work session on the review of an appointment to the Oregon State Capital Foundation. With that on the record, recognize Legislative Administrator Kevin Hayden. Is that correct? Are you prepared to speak on this? You're sitting up there.
Good morning, Chair Courtney, Chair Kotek, members of the committee. Yes, we have today Jane Cease and Gary Wilhelms from the Oregon State Capital Foundation who are going to discuss their appointment. So I will turn it over to them.
Your Honor, Mr. Wilhelms, Representative Senator Cease, would you please come forward, Your Honors, my former legislators.
Usually they say formerly honorable.
Honorable Representative Wilhelms, do you wish to speak first, or does your honorable senator?
I'll defer to the chairman of the Oregon State Capital Foundation, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, so sooner or later we need to start talking. So go ahead, please. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Fast. My name's Jane Cease. I'm the current chair of the Oregon State Capital Foundation, and we want to ask you please to appoint another member to a vacancy that we have, Mr. Ed Schopes, because we have been in dire need of a person to do some of the public communications and things that we need, writing newsletters and things like that, because our other one resigned because she was working full-time and trying to do this as well, and it just wasn't working out for her. So we're asking that Mr. Schopes be appointed. He has a long list of experience in public relations and communications and press releases. We have a need for those when we have events around the Capitol, and we would appreciate your appointing him.
Thank you, Senator Cease. Questions, comments, concerns, Mr. Senator? Your comments? The Honorable Representative Wilhelms, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm the chairman of the nominating committee, and we have vetted Mr. Schopes, and we have worked with him for some time now. He does a great job, and so we fully are in agreement on presenting him to you for approval as a member of the Oregon State Capital Foundation.
Questions, comments, concerns? Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Is he here?
I don't think he could get off from his
okay.
job.
Okay, I just want to make sure that we establish the record that he was unable to be here. All right, thank you. We are also in work session because I opened a public hearing and a work session. So
we are indeed, Mr. Chair. I move the committee accept the recommendation of the Oregon State Capital Foundation and appoint Mr. Ed Schopes.
Motion is now on the floor. Concerns, comments, questions?
With apologies, Mr. Chair, having worked with Ed, he's great. This would be a great addition.
I just recognized after the fact Representative Berger, who headed that statement on the record. The nominee is great. Other questions, comments, or statements? Are there any objections? The motion carries. I close the public hearing work session. Now, you see this little thing. That's done. And I will open an informational meeting on the review of the Oregon State Capital Innovation Project, Temporary Relocation Options. We therefore have now just done that. I now defer to who wishes to speak. The State Administrator Hayden, are you willing to go first?
That is correct, Mr. Chair. Again, for the record, my name is Kevin Hayden, Legislative Administrator. And the reason we're here today is to very briefly talk about where we are in the capital renovation project and specifically about options for relocation to a temporary facility. Just to make sure that we are all in the same place, the Capital Master Plan Review Committee in April of 2013 reported back to Legislative Administration and reaffirmed the master plan recommendations, which were to address seismic and life safety concerns as a top priority, improve ADA access throughout the building, improve mechanical, electrical, and plumbing system, and address other operational concerns where efficient opportunities arose. Later in 2013, funding was approved to do detailed investigation and design, which will allow us to refine the project scope and budget. To that end, we have hired a project management firm, the Anisi Group, a general contractor and construction manager, J.E. Dunn Construction, and an architectural firm, SRG Partnerships. The team has been looking in great detail at current structural and mechanical details, both inside and outside of the building, and they're gathering information about the operational needs to define that scope and budget. At the same time, the team has been charged with validating one of the review committee's recommendations, which was to move or to temporarily vacate the Capitol for approximately 3.5 years based on the estimates that they were able to establish for construction time. One of the key factors that we started with was, do we really have to move? And that was always a guiding factor was, do we have to move out lock, stock, and barrel, or is there a way to do this in a phased approach? Terry Carlson from the Anisi Group is going to talk about the process that we used and the options that we came up with and how that kind of played into the discussion. So with that, I will turn it over to Mr. Carlson.
Great.
Carlson.
Co-Chair Courtney, Co-Chair Kotek, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Terry Carlson, Senior Project Manager with the Anisi Group. Thank you for this opportunity to bring this forward to you today. One of the first things that our group did when we came on board and the other members of the team that Kevin Hayden was mentioning is that really, do we have to move during construction? Can we just stay here? And very quickly, the team came to the conclusion that due to safety, schedule, and cost concerns, that it really does not make sense. It's not feasible for us to stay in the building. So after that, we quickly moved forward with trying to understand what it would take to relocate into another facility. And so we worked with members of staff and leadership in the building to really try to figure out what those requirements would be. Certainly budget and schedule are important, but we also needed to understand what the other locations would be required for operations and functions of the Capitol, and then for people to be able to access the Capitol as well. So we developed these lists of guiding principles that we have gone throughout the entire project so far to really vet some of the 22 different options that have been identified. And we scored 22 different ones, and four separate ones quickly rose to the top. So today, we're presenting options in the order that they best met the principles on the previous slide. These are the PUC building, the Oregon State Fairgrounds, and a private development option, as well as, just for comparison, a phased construction of staying in the Capitol partially and then moving out small groups at a time, similar to the Wings remodel that occurred several years ago. So locations for the various different projects. The Fairgrounds is about a mile and a half to the north, and the PUC building is just shortly a short distance from the Capitol building. The Kettle option, the private development option, is just to the south, about a mile and a quarter from the Capitol. So quickly moving into the overall evaluation of each of the individual options, the first one that I'm presenting is the PUC. So the PUC, the real advantages to this one is that location, cost, and schedule meet our current requirements that we've established in the project. However, on the cons, it's The space is tight. With the work that we've done so far and understanding from staff and the leadership in the building, the amount of space that we need, this is a bare minimum of what we're looking at here at the PUC. Now, I'm showing some temporary structures on the this is part of the solution because the PUC building only has about 97,000 square feet available, so we need another 24,000 square feet in order to make this work. We anticipate doing this through a modular building similar to what you'd see at an elementary school for classrooms, and that would give us an opportunity to configure specific needs for the capital business. The next option I'm going to present is going to be the fairgrounds option. And this one is actually utilizing a couple of different buildings that the Fair Council has offered up for continued use throughout the 3.5 years that we would anticipate being there. First one is the Pavilion building, and then also in the lower left-hand corner of the picture on the slide, you'll notice that that's going to be the Armory with some associated offices. One of the drawbacks with this particular option is that there's about 1,100 foot of distance between the Pavilion and the Armory buildings where we anticipate support services would be located. So in addition to that, we would see the need or recognize the need for some additional square footage that we would create through a temporary structure, simple structure that would be permanent that could be utilized by the Fair Council after the capital returns. So this one is slightly over budget, but can meet our schedule. And one of the other drawbacks to this particular option is that there isn't a lot of services nearby, and it's a mile and a half from the Capitol Mall away from current services. So the third option I'd like to present is the Kettle building option, which came to us through a formal RFI process where we had a submission from a private development firm that proposed redevelopment of an area of Salem that needs some help. And so we liked this from that standpoint. However, the is slightly over budget, and we have some concerns on schedule and also with the city. We have to do a zoning change, conditional use change, which presented some risks. But on the pro side, there was definitely some advantages because we're all in one location, plenty of space, a lot of opportunities for configuration for and flexibility for meeting the needs of the functions of the Capitol. So the fourth option that I wanted to present was the basically a phased capital I mentioned earlier. So this would be where we would group up the existing building and move out basically three different groups one at a time. We'd move out, move back, and through this scenario, we were planning on about 70,000 square feet in the PUC building. This one really is not feasible from a safety cost and schedule standpoint. It would extend the project by another year, and the cost would be very, very high. So in closing, I wanted to use this graphical representation of how the options are graded against the guiding principles that we reviewed at the beginning of the presentation. It tells a story in terms of which option rises to the top. I'd like to thank you for your time today, and would be happy to answer any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Carlson, Mr. Hayden. Questions, comments for them? Speaker Kotek, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to say for colleagues, you know, for those of us who've been spending some time on this, we're obviously in scenario planning. The goal here is to figure out what is the best way to do this if we were to move forward with the overall renovation of the Capitol. And I want to commend the team for coming up with a set of, you know, trying to have some objective criteria by which to compare across the different options. And there were more than this, but, you know, we tried to pick, you know, the things that we really need to have a set of goals around and that, you know, a move-out option. And that's what you see on this chart here. you know, I think it gives you a good idea which ones seem more viable than the others, but I look forward to your feedback on this because, again, we're still in scenario planning. The overall goal is to have a building here for another 100 years. If we are to move out, which is the more cost-effective method, we need to have some idea where we might go, and that's the goal of the discussion today. So thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Nason.
Thank you. I'd like to talk a little bit about the costs. There are a couple of these that the analysis shows they're slightly over budget, so I wanted to understand more specifically what makes them over budget. In one, we would be moving into a pavilion at a fairgrounds. In another, we would be moving into a warehouse. What's causing it to be over budget? Is it cost to lease a facility to reimburse or compensate whoever owns the building or the property? Is it the cost to make the structure habitable for those purposes? Or did you, for planning this, did you use pretty much just the same cost per square foot, that wherever we move into, you're going to be putting up temporary walls, stretching wires and cables, putting in speakers and so forth? Is it the same cost for any type of building we'd move into, or did you adjust the cost for moving into a PUC versus a pavilion versus an empty warehouse?
Co-Chair Courtney, Co-Chair Kotek, Representative Nathanson, thank you. That it's a great question for clarification. We actually evaluated the costs individually for each of the different options, and there is a variance on actual costs for lease costs, rent costs, construction. So depending upon the condition of the building or whether or not we had to build something new, really it affected the cost. So to nail down specifically one item or another as to why it's more expensive, it just really has to do with the differing site conditions, basically.
And Mr. Chair, if I may, Terry, and that was one of the questions I had in some of this. So on each of the charts, you see a pie chart there that talks about the different, so you can kind of see which, some have more costs around construction, some have more around lease costs, but mm-hmm. they all have the same types of costs, but they're all different depending on the option.
Mr. Nathan, do you have your answer to you?
I'd like to, if we have time, I'd like to ask a follow-up, please.
Please do so.
Could you describe to us the relative ease or difficulty of making different types of buildings usable for having public hearings, for having an assembly come together, debate, and vote, for having staff be able to work? I can pretty easily envision how you put up temporary walls and bring in cables to make desks available for people to work at. It's much harder for me to envision how you can prepare space for activities like this or being in a Senate or a House chamber to debate and vote. That seems like a big task.
Yes, but fortunately, we've got a lot of practice in doing that in buildings, and this is another exercise of really identifying what the components and requirements are for each of the spaces and putting a plan in place to get it completed. And in this scenario, when we're looking at temporary facilities, our team was really looking at it with the eye for being as cost-effective as possible, recognizing in some instances that this would be something that would not be a permanent that we'd have to remove when we're done. So is that answering your question enough?
Well, a little bit, but it's enough for now, and if others want to pursue it further, that's fine.
Mr. Barnhart, did you have your question?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I think that this plan talks only about the legislature and its needs, doesn't deal with the tenants in the building, everyone from the governor all the way down literally to the cafe at the Capitol. I don't know that it's germane for me to ask where they're going, but I assume this doesn't cover them.
Co-Chair Courtney, Co-Chair Kotek, Representative Barnhart, thank you. We have had conversations about that. The governor's, the executive branch is going to find another location for them to temporarily be However, we are planning on providing some sort of food facilities in each of these options, as well as space for the Capitol Club and other press and other functions. So all the functions that currently exist in this building, we have been planning on locating in the temporary facility, except for the executive branch.
And the treasurer.
Well, including the treasurer.
Including treasurer,
right.
Correct.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And the Secretary of State.
And Secretary of State.
Let's be clear. Yeah. State Treasurer's Office, Secretary of State, they're going to have to find other places. It would not be in the PUC building.
Right. And, correct.
And maybe I'd ask the chair, let me also make it clear to you. There is a cafe. There will be a cafe in the PUC building. There was one. There will be a cafe there, in addition to an eatery for House and Senate members together in the PUC. Just so you know, I'm just going to be very frank with you, because you're starting to get it. We're going to eat together should we choose to eat with each other. You did not ask that. I'm asking, telling you that. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do, Mr. Okay. Chair, and I appreciate the comment, and I happen to agree with it as well, which I may or may not matter, but I do.
I don't have a plan to eat with you, but I did want to say that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Do you have any other questions you'd like to ask?
I did, but I have forgotten what it was.
Senator Girard, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The question I have centers around parking for the PUC building. I see we have legislators are going to be able to park, but there's a lot of other parking required. And what are we going to do about the parking situation? Because that seems to be the only drawback to the PUC building. Otherwise, I think it's kind of a clear choice.
Co-Chair Courtney, Co-Chair Kotek. Senator Girard, thank you for your question. You're absolutely correct regarding parking. There is enough parking for legislators. However, we have additional street parking. We also have the DAS red lot across the street. There has been some preliminary discussions as potentially leveraging some of that. But right now, that has not been solidified in any level. So parking would be an issue. It's a particular option.
Wait. Can I just say something? Senator, would you indulge me?
Yeah.
It's my understanding wherever people are parking now who work in this building and or who lobby in this building or come here, that should not change. That should not change. Correct? Because right now there's a certain number of parking spaces under this place. Mm-hmm. They're all going to exist on a surface lot over there. They're not going to be underground, which means you're going to have to get used to dealing with inclement weather out as you run your car. There's also going to be some additional spaces because downstairs a chief of staff or two park, right? The governor's spaces will not be there, so we get those, you know, et cetera, because he or she won't be in the building. Well, it's not going to be a she, given where we're at. as far as the spaces right out in front of the Capitol, because it takes 103 spaces, I thought, for the legislature. Is that right?
That's correct.
There's 140 spaces on the property, right?
Correct.
We were going to reduce some of those because of the modulars, but we still were going to have how many spaces, please?
We're down to 120.
All right. So my point, Senator Girard, is people are now commuting from Portland, so that will continue whatever their lifestyle is in terms of where they pick up their vans. Some of the people in my office, for example, have underground. They park in the underground parking. They will continue. So I don't think you've the parking thing concerns me in how you've answered it. No disrespect, Mr. Carlson. It's my understanding one of the reasons that Speaker and I chose this site is we thought there would be a minimal disruption, if any, in parking.
It's also part of our wellness initiative. People will have to walk maybe a couple more.
Yeah, they're going to have to walk maybe, given something like that. But they're not going to lose their parking spaces or also have to look for parking to the extent that they have to look for any more now. The lobby is going to do whatever it does now. Is that right?
Correct. The only issue I guess I was referring to is the street parking. We have outside visitors and having that available right outside the PUC.
If I may, this is Legislative Administrator Kevin Hayden again to reiterate kind of what we're saying. It's really a parking neutral. It's there's no change to the advantage now. Right now, most people have to find someplace to park. All of us that don't park underground, we don't have to change where we park because we have to walk an extra block. So I think I heard someone say that it was part of a wellness initiative. It gives you an extra block to walk, so that's wonderful too. So it really is parking neutral. It doesn't gain us anything, but we don't lose a thing in this option. People now who have to come and park will have to still find some place. They'll park in a slightly different spot, but it's not any different from today. Parking is always a challenge at the Capitol as it exists today. It won't change for this option.
Yep. Senator John, more?
No, I'm good.
Representative Berger, please.
Mr. Chair, would you please indulge me in welcoming students from South Salem High School government class, who I just met with earlier today in preparation for Saxon Day, September 5th, which was part of our last legislative session in naming. And I invited them to come down to this committee to hear the discussion about where the legislature might go if it wasn't in this building. And I would like to have you welcome them, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
It's my privilege, yes. I just saw them in my office just moments before this, and they instructed me as to how I should conduct this meeting. So,
how are you doing on that, Mr. Chair?
I don't know. I'm not feeling real good right now. Things are sliding on me here, so we'll see how I do. We'll see what they have to think about. Thank you very, very much for being here. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Further questions, comments, concerns? Senator Rosenbaum, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I just had one question, and that is about the modular unit. So I'm not very up on what the state-of-the-art modular type thing is, and I know there are some health and safety issues around modular classrooms in terms of climate control and other things. So are there... I mean, that's not the sort of thing we'd be taking on with the modular piece of this, correct?
No, Co-Chair Courtney, Co-Chair Kotek, Senator Rosenbaum, thank you. Modern modular buildings are all climate-controlled, at least what we have priced are climate-controlled and configurable, and we have also planned for restrooms inside, flushing, running water. You wouldn't know any different from a plumbed facility. So we're not talking pit toilets or anything like that. So it would be comfort. I think the biggest difference is a lower ceiling than you would normally be used to.
Okay, thank you. That's all I had.
Further questions, comments, concerns? Criticisms. Representative Nathanson, please.
Thank you for allowing another turn. I'd like to explore the PUC option just a little bit more. I was curious about the other options in particular in my previous questions. So two of the issues are it's tight, doesn't have enough space, and I wanted to talk about that. And after that, I want to talk about a different point. So tell me about it's tight, doesn't have as much space as the other options have. However, this is in an existing neighborhood, if you will. Is it possible that any buildings nearby, either public or private, will be vacated within the next year, year and a half? We just don't happen to know about it yet. So there might be options for some activities that would otherwise be looking around for space to be, might actually find something in the vicinity.
Co-Chair Courtney, Co-Chair Kotek, Representative Nathanson, thank you. We actually have looked into that very item, and actually the facilities director, Dan Brown, has volunteered that maybe he could move some of his folks out, and there's opportunities for potentially other groups that's inside the Capitol to not be located in the PUC. So that is an option if we're not able to make the space work. I do want to talk about what I guess the space. So when the team came together, we identified about 140,000 square feet would be ideal for us. And as you can see, we're in the 120,000 square foot range. So We are shy about 20,000 square feet, and we're looking at putting people in cubicles and things as much as possible, but we have had to recognize that private offices are necessary for a number of different functions that are in the Capitol. And so there may be a need to do that very thing, to find other space that's nearby. And the next step, if this option was chosen, the next step for us would be to dive into a lot greater detail and really understand how we can put everybody together and be efficient, not inefficient. We don't want to cram a bunch of people in a space and they're not going to be able to get their job done. So this type of scenario, and I was referring to earlier, is what our teams do with projects day in, day out. So it's just a matter of making a decision on a particular option, allowing us to get into the level of detail.
Okay, and one follow-up, yeah, please. There's a point below that. It says, if the capital project does not start when currently planned, this option could become cost prohibitive. What's that about?
Co-Chair Courtney, Co-Chair Kotek, Representative Nathanson, thank you. That specifically is addressing the fact that the PUC building is currently under construction and is anticipated to be reoccupied by Department of Energy and PUC by the end of the year. And so if a decision is delayed or the project is delayed for whatever reason, then we would be paying rent on an empty building, and then it would, so for example, if the project was extended a year, then there's a whole year of rent that we'd be expending.
To reserve the building
for
our use.
To reserve the building, right.
Thank you.
Let me ask, Representative Nathanson, did you ask the first question as follows? If we don't choose this site today and we wait a year or two or three, another major building on this place, the mall, may open up that we could move into that would accommodate us more. Was that not your question? Hello?
I wasn't anticipating a major building would open up, but maybe space. You know, some of our activities might be downsizing in some of the nearby buildings, or there might be some, on the private sector, some individually owned private buildings within a block or two that someone may be able to move into.
The question is, do you want to wait to see?
No, I'm just wondering what might open up for use that we don't know about yet.
All right. Further questions, concerns? Yes.
Can I make a comment here, because none of these are, I think that none of these are ideal. I really like the PUC option because of the proximity to the state government and where we would be where we always are, downtown Salem, and it is a completed building, not a warehouse that's convertible. But make no mistake, the purpose here is to renovate this building for the next 100 years. And I don't know if you've done renovation in your house, but I have, and it's a pain in the neck, and you don't get everything you want, and you don't live in luxury. And it was a shock of my life to go visit my colleagues in Colorado, which is one of the most spectacular buildings you've ever seen, and they share office spaces in temporary little things where they meet with constituents, and there's nothing but a little divider between them. And I said, really? You talk to constituents with somebody over the wall? I mean, we live in a very nice setting here, and I don't think we're going to get it all in any temporary situation. So I think we're all going to have to, or you all are going to have to make the best of it, and to expect at the budget that we all want, to get everything and all the space is unrealistic. And I just want to keep the eye on the long-term goal here, which is to make this building good for another 100 years. And if we have temporary discomfort in that process, well, good luck with that, you guys.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. And following up on Representative Berger's statement, there's no doubt that there's going to be inconvenience and uncomfort for all of us. That's the nature of this type of work. I do have two questions, or perhaps more of a statement. As I look at your option scoring sheet, to me it seems like there ought to be one more line there. And it ought to talk about the cost to re-retrofit the building once we're all done. Mm-hmm. Under option 1, 2, 3, or 4, we're going to be creating a space that's ideal for us, as ideal as we can temporarily. But once we're done and we return back to home, that space is no longer going to be ideal for the next tenant. Mm-hmm. Was there discussion on that? And what is that potential cost as you look at that into the future? And granted, maybe it's a question mark, but was there conversation around that?
Co-Chair Courtney, Co-Chair Kotek, Representative Smith, thank you. Yes, actually, the cost to retrofit or return whatever building or whatever option we're looking at are fully included in our estimates. We had anticipated that. In fact, one of our guiding principles was trying to, you know, come up with options that minimize rework or things. So, for example, at the fairgrounds, we're going to be doing some improvements for the capital, certainly, for the capital functions, but they can be utilized by the fair afterwards. For example, the pavilion building, we would be adding in our pricing, we added air conditioning to the pavilion. That's going to be a benefit to them, but it's a requirement for the capital to use that space. And then, in addition to that, we're proposing a 60,000 square foot additional structure out there that would allow them to rent that space out for the future. So yes, we'd have to gut that, but it's improvements that they would benefit from. At the PUC building, we have a similar scenario. We've got to build some private offices. We'd have to tear those down and reconstruct tenant improvements of the space so it can be utilized by whatever functions DAS would have assigned at that time. On the modular buildings, those will be leased, so there certainly would be functions inside there that we'd have to pull out, all the technology and things and that would be required for hearings and the chambers would be redone. I apologize for making this long, but I will say one of the things that our team is looking at is leveraging either existing technology that we have here today and moving it, using it there, or actually maybe putting in some of the things that are going to be here permanently there, not only to test it, but potentially use it now and then bring it into the new renovated capital if the project moves forward.
If I could follow up.
Sure.
Gold Star for sharing that. That's great. That's a major issue anytime you do a project renovation. I want to go from 30,000 feet now down to 500 feet. Can you talk about security and the work you, I'm assuming, the communication you've had with the State Fire Marshal and OSP in terms of what role they'll play in this process?
Co-Chair Courtney, Co-Chair Kotek, Representative Smith, thank you. Are you speaking towards the overall capital renovation project or specifically to the temporary option? We've not had detailed discussions related to the specifics of the city requirements. However, we have had high level discussions conceptually of these concepts that we presented today, and we don't have any specific issues on that. Related to security, we do anticipate the needs and they have plug dollars to provide appropriate security, card access, various different options, and also discussions about where to locate state police and where it would be appropriate for them on each of these options.
Thank you.
Yes, Representative McLean, please.
Mr. Co-Chair, what is the process of making a decision on the relocation site and timeline?
Do you want to take a shot at that, and I'll comment if he wants me to comment further. Are you asking me or are you asking them?
I'm asking you. You're the co-chair, and I assume we got to make a decision.
It's my understanding that we need to make a decision by the end of this month. That's what the Speaker and I have been operating under that assumption for some weeks and months now, so that the building that we would move to could be prepared for us leaving. When we leave the 2015 session, the very second we leave, we can move into that facility so we can expedite the remodeling of this building. And the bids and everything would be based on that kind of time schedule. So that is what our understanding is, that that we need to make this decision by the end of this month, within a few days, well, we're right now at the end of this month, so that we can send a signal where we're going so they can start to work on that facility. So for sure it will be available for us when we leave this building in June or in early July of 2015.
And then my follow-up is, who makes that decision?
Who makes the decision?
Is it this committee?
About where we're going to, I don't mean to, you're asking me who makes the decision about, which decision are you asking about, the building construction or leaving this building? Which is your question? I'm not trying to confuse you, Council. I just would like to know what question you're asking. I want to be sure I answer it accurately.
The relocation.
It's my understanding that technically the Speaker and the presiding officer were in a position to basically, I don't know if we could unilaterally make it, but they should be making the decision with the LAC committee, because we are the committee of the legislature that is overseeing this building and the maintenance and the accessibility and how this building is run. That is our job as a legislative administration committee. So it is this committee's jurisdiction that would make that decision, with these two presiding officers basically coming to you and saying these are our priorities as to how we should do it. That is my understanding as how this would be done. Is that right, Madam Speaker? Am I said it right or wrong?
Yeah, and I mean, we look to you. That's why we're here today, to get your advice and feedback on the options and the process by which we reached a set of options, because to move forward on the planning, we need to give some guidance. So.
So I don't know. Does that answer your question?
What it tells me, Mr. Co-Chair, is that the Speaker and the President of the Senate are making this decision, not this committee. And if that's the case, then the two of you are going to make a financial decision based upon an assumption of a vote in 2015. There are quite a few steps between now and then. I mean, we're just looking at possible options, but if you guys are making the decision to spend money, and when we don't even have approval of the appropriation to do the renovation of the Capitol, I'm concerned about the process of it and the propriety of it.
Mr. Chair, if I may, I think that's an excellent question. The folks who did approve the allocation to do the design and planning work that we're now discussing was this body. We voted on the bonding allocation last year. We proceeded by going to hiring an owner's rep, and they went to help. You know, we have construction and architects. You know, I don't think we want to make any kind of decision in 2015 unless we have good information, and that was the decision that was made last year. Now we will have another decision next year whether or not we want to proceed with the overall renovation in the next biennium or sometime in the future. But this work will need to get done at some point if the goal is to have this building still around in 100 years, which is the goal of the entire project. So we approved as a body last year that we should spend some money to look at it. That's the process we're in right now. And the feedback of this group is important to me and the Senate President, to make sure we're asking the right questions. I'm hearing that people feel like we're asking the right questions, that we have some good options on the table, and that's really helpful for us to hear.
The decision by the legislature to appropriate money to determine the cost of the renovation and the like may have also appropriated money for the relocation process. And in that regard, it looks like we've already made the decision to spend it. But my concern is, if in 2015 or thereafter the legislature decides not to appropriate the $250 million to $300 million that is on the table here, then how much are we spending to prepare for a relocation that won't occur?
Cost? Co-Chair Courtney, Co-Chair Kotek, Representative McLean, I'd be happy to get that information for you.
Within?
It depends. I have to do an analysis on each of the different options, or if you just want me to do one particular option, because it would vary by which one was chosen.
If I may follow up, the amount of money that I see here, like for an example on the PUC option, is $2,000,000 20 to... $24 to $27 million for a cost estimate over 3.5 years. And I know that part of that budget is what I heard you earlier is to do the temporary structures and the like. So you're going to get me an estimate of how much it is to that is going to be spent prior to the decision by the legislature to actually appropriate the money for the restructure the capital. Is that correct?
Correct.
And that amount, is it your understanding that the Speaker and the President have the authority to authorize the spending of that amount with no assurance that we're actually moving forward?
Because I'm getting the details to remind ourselves that we, again, approved money last year to pursue a move-out option if, indeed, in 15 we decide to pursue the entire renovation. We authorized $7 million in planning and design.
Okay.
And then the amounts you see here are the relocation costs that would entail us being ready in 15.
But in perhaps I'm not – may I follow up, Mr. Co-Chair?
Sure.
So perhaps I'm not being clear. It seems to me that the Speaker and the President are going to make a decision here, and you're going to start the process. And maybe I heard wrong, but you're going to start the process of preparing the relocation site to receive in 2015 the legislative branch. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. But if in 2015 the legislative branch decides not to move forward with the project, then I guess I'm asking, how much are we spending?
Only $7 million has been allocated.
If I may, Kevin Hayden, Legislative Administrator, Chair Courtney, Chair Kotek, Representative McLean, we in our estimate, when we brought that proposal forward, put in $7 million to include the cost of moving out, the cost of preparing the space. So each of these options, and that's why Mr. Carlson is saying that he would have to come back and tell you exactly to get that information. The cost on PUC, for example, the reason that it kind of rises to the top is that's the least amount of money. We could start working on the interior of the building, getting that prepared, getting ready with the leases, because we don't immediately have to have, say, the chambers and the hearing rooms on day one that we move out. There's still room in the capital. So it allows us to invest the least amount of money that still allows us to immediately start executing the next phase if that is approved. If it's not approved, you're right. There is some sunk cost. There's some sunk cost in any of this, but you weigh that against the cost of if you approve a budget to move forward and we don't have a site ready, then that delays the project. And so all along, that's why this has been one of the hardest discussions that we've had as we've been going through this, that we want to make sure that we are guarding that money as closely as possible and spending it when we need to, with the knowledge that there's risk associated with it. We want to minimize that, and the PUC helps us to really minimize that because it requires the least amount of early work. Exactly what that costs today, we haven't gone into that kind of detail because that would really require some work with the architects to figure out exactly where people would go and how the space works today and how it would work for us.
Well, and then the last comment, Mr. Co-Chair. Well, then, I just wanted to acknowledge then that we are putting money at risk, as you said, and I'd like to know how much, so that at least when the Speaker and the President make this decision, we know what we're putting at risk.
Mr. Carlson, we can get together the best estimate that we have today as to what those costs would be in order to do the design work and to do the prep work. It would be somewhere less than $7 million because the $7 million also included move out and some other costs associated with that. But it's a best guess today that we can give you based on the information that we have.
Can I ask one last follow-up on this, Mr. Co-Chair?
Yes.
in order to avoid that, we'd be accepting a delay, is what you've indicated, and that makes sense, that we, after the decision's been made to appropriate the $300 million to renovate the Capitol, there would, after that decision, there'd be a delay then in relocation. Do you have an estimate of how long that delay is?
It would depend on when the decision would have been made. I mean, so whenever the project gets approved, I mean, so let's say, for example, it gets approved in the 2016 short session, then I guess we're talking a delay of 9 months, which would translate into construction escalation costs, which are running about 5 to 6% annually at the moment. So on $250 million, you're about $8-9 million.
And additionally, like PUC is an option today. If we were to go to them and say we're not even going to make a decision until the next legislative session, the PUC building will be filled up this fall because they would use the space for other purposes. So we would have to go back and reevaluate what options were available at that time. Some of these might still exist, some might not, which would, you're looking at a minimum of a year, I would guess, mm-hmm. to prepare a space, and potentially longer. So, you know, the delay and the cost associated with that would match or potentially exceed what we would sink into it now.
Yeah. Okay.
But that's just based on our estimates today.
All right, thank you.
Well, I'm going to make a statement because I'm uncomfortable about what's happening here. I'm going to read a statement at the end of this meeting. I'm going to read it right here. Based on the information we have received and reviewed, the preference for the temporary capital is the PUC building with the State Fair as a backup location. Are there comments or objections? Now, let me finish. I'll make it very clear, since the Speaker and the President have been highlighted, this is not my Capitol. It is not my building. It belongs to the public. We are the caretakers, the Speaker and I, and this committee and this legislature of this building. But the Speaker and I, at least I am not unilaterally going to go out and say, do whatever I want to do. We brought it here in good faith to get your views. We have struggled mightily with all these options. We have been reviewing this building for years and years and years. While it's been seismic, we have grown to understand asbestos, lead, wiring, safety, secure, all kinds of other issues involved here. We have struggled mightily to try to find a place to move that would be the least inconvenient for the public, the workers, and legislators. We've attempted to stay on a time schedule because sooner or later you have to make a decision. Either it's go or no go. So we're not just coming here and going through a game here. We legitimately, in good faith, brought it to you. You are members of the Legislative Committee to ask for comments and objections. And I will ask publicly, if anybody wants to object to, for whatever reason, at the end of this meeting, then object, and it's on the record. And the Speaker and I will have to take that into consideration if enough of you object. So I want everybody to understand this. This is not just some thing we are doing here. We did this in good faith to try to get a reaction to trying to meet a deadline, which we understand it's time to go or no go on whether or not we're going to redo this Capitol along the lines that we say we need to do. So I just want to make that statement. I will read the statement. You'll have an opportunity to enter on the record exactly how you feel where you're at, either comments or objections. Thank you. Who else? Somebody had their hands up. Representative Smith, do you want to?
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair, and I appreciate your comments. I agree with them. What I have before me is, I perceive as a very good executive summary of options. I appreciate that, and you've given us an opportunity to ask questions. What I want to know is, what are our plans from this time forward to report back to us on timelines, on compliance with a budget, with adherence to the principles? What are those roadblocks that we're facing? Who's going to give us this information? When are they going to give us this information? How often are they going to give us this information? And who professionally is going to be analyzing this information when they give us these summaries?
Well, Mr. Chair, if I could say, I we'd certainly be open to, we are receiving dashboards and reports. Clearly, we're in a bit of a holding pattern until we had an option identified. But if this committee would like to receive a certain level of monthly reports, we can do that. And we're not scheduled to be back here until September, so we could have another LAC meeting then. So I think it's really the desire of this committee, how much information would you like to have? Because we have professionals working on this, and, I think it's just a matter of what you want to see.
And the reason I ask that question is there's some of us in the development world that I could spend 5 hours talking about implementation of electrical systems. But this isn't the place for that. We have an executive summary. But I want to know it's being done, and I want to know it's being reported back to us, and I want to know it's being done in a timely manner, and I want to know that it's being assessed by professionals who are giving us an honest assessment of what's occurred.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you. I think in fairness to some of the ongoing dialogue that has occurred here, that what has happened is the disparity of information. You, Madam Speaker, just said that you guys are getting dashboards. You are at the epicenter of the information, and I think some of us are trying to exercise due diligence by asking questions that will inform decisions about whether or not money is at risk. We're making a decision about where to go. Then we have to make the decision, are we going to do it? And I think given the unequal amount of information that we're just trying to play catch-up ball in some respects. And one of the things, and I apologize for coming late, but I asked my colleague, Representative Nathanson, whether or not you had discussed as a committee any of the scope of what would have to be taken out of this building that has already been done. I think she used the word wasted. That's what would anything be wasted? And she said the response was nothing. I'm confused based on a conversation we had last night. And again, I'm just trying to play catch-up ball with respect to the information flow. Did you discuss in any length, and I just need a yes or no, how much of what has already occurred here needs to be redone?
Co-Chair Courtney, Co-Chair Kotek, Senator Johnson, thank you. We've had extensive conversations, and we're talking specifically about the Capitol building and probably more specifically the wings renovation that occurred several years back. They're inherent with doing a seismic upgrade, and we're going to be doing that with the wings, that there will be some work and some repair and replacement of finishes that were done in the wings renovation project. There is also under consideration some additional work that might occur on the House wing to equate some of the make some of the square footages more equal to the staff and representatives that are in the building.
Senator Johnson, if I could just say, and I want to just be really clear, and I appreciate the request for additional information.
Because Representative Nathanson said nothing, and that's inconsistent with what I know.
Well, I'm not sure I totally understand your question. We did the are we talking about, so the wings were done when we approved money last year to start forward with this design process. We had a go hire someone, they had to go hire a team. They started doing testing in the building, and there's tours that can be taken if you want to see where they drilled holes, because there was a very good master plan, but frankly we needed to hire a bunch of professionals to say, okay, based on this concept, does it make any sense to do this? So we're in that stage right now. So I don't want to give the impression there's like gobs of information. It's really difficult to proceed unless we have a sense of the options. They need to figure out if an option one or two works, just architecturally. In terms of any decisions internally to this building, none have been made. The focus is seismic, the focus is ADA, the focus is systems improvement. So I just want to make sure no broader decisions have been made other than hiring a team and coming to this committee and say we need to decide on some options. And we're happy to report back and include you at whatever level you want.
Okay.
So.
I want to get back to that, but I want to send it over here. Senator Valle, would you go ahead, please? You want to ask a question.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Colleagues, you know, these are complicated projects. I mean, you're not going to find a more complicated construction project than the one we're talking about here. Four of us on this committee, Representative Nathanson, Representative Berger, Senator Ferrioli, and I, along with a bunch of others, technical people, spent 2 years reviewing the original capital plan and looking at this. We went to Utah and crawled under the damn Capitol building there and talked to what they did there. We talked about what happened in Washington, a number of others. There are other, we're not on the leading edge of doing this, but they're all different and they're all complicated. Things, and we haven't made the decision and won't until 2015 to go ahead. But what I can tell you from my perspective, having been here, is that if we don't do it, and if the earthquake that we've all been told will happen, it's not a matter of if, it's when, people will die in this building. There's no doubt about it. You look at those panels of marble that hang on the hallways in the old building on the outside, none of them will withstand the earthquake we're talking about. They start out at 2 tons and they go up to about 8 tons each. Someone's going to have those fall on them if that happens while people are in this building. And on a daily basis, even when we're not here, there's still hundreds of people that are in this building. Many times there are school children that are in this building. So in my opinion, it is something we have to do. The dilemma we're faced with now is, what exactly do we end up doing? There's differences in how the earthquake, as I understand it. We talked about building a whole platform underneath. It's called isolation system. I understand there's a discussion about maybe we don't have to do all of that. Maybe the new building, the wings can have something different. That's why we hired the engineers and the architects to figure that out. They haven't decided that yet, I don't think. So we haven't got that information. But what we do know, Mr. President, is if we're going to move forward, and we're going to do it in 2015, if we're going to make that decision, we have to decide where we're going to go so that the staff can start making that adjustment. We've got, I think, probably only really two options on the table, the fairgrounds and the PUC. In my opinion, having worked in that building over there for a decade, that's probably the best situation we have with portables. It makes sense to do that. It's close to the staff. I mean, we need to keep in mind that as we go forward over the next 4 years, if we decide to go forward, there's a whole lot of state people that have to work. And it's not just our inconvenience as 90 legislators. It's all the other people that have to make the state government work on an ongoing basis. So I think this committee should acknowledge that and should suggest to the leadership, if they're the ones who have to finally sign the contract, that this is the one we ought to do. We just need to know that there are going to be some risks, and we can minimize that, or the staff can minimize that, but there are some risks, and there's no way around that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Others? Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wanted to reframe what I think some of the discussion was earlier to make sure I understand it, and then I want to make a comment essentially in support of what my senator just said. As I understand, what the legislature has already done is that the legislature has already adopted a budget and a request to go ahead with a plan to renovate the Capitol, to move to temporary quarters, to establish a plan to do that, and to come back in 15 with a specific proposal for the renovation itself, which the legislature will then determine whether to go ahead with or not. The way I perceive that work, that action that the legislature has already taken, is that it wants the 15 legislature to be in a position to decide whether or not to go ahead over the next 3 years to make this renovation or not. And part of the process of doing that is to prepare a potential spot for us to move, because if that isn't done, the legislature will not be able to decide to move in 15 because the space will not be available to it. So as I perceive where we are today is that the legislature has already authorized the planning, has already authorized the the discussion necessary and the preliminary work necessary and the preliminary space acquisition necessary to put it in a position, to put the next legislature in a position to make a decision as to whether to go ahead with the building or not, which we will not, which the next legislature will not be able to do if we haven't chosen a spot and done the work necessary to be ready to move at the end of the next session. Now, that's a restatement of what I think other people have already said, but I hope that it's a useful restatement. Then my next comment, essentially, is to support the comment of my senator, Senator Beyer, that based on the information that's available to us this morning, it would appear to me that the best choice is the one that I think, Mr. Chair, you apparently have settled on, and that is the PUC building with the temporary structures that have been discussed, or potentially Representative Nathanson's suggestion that we continue looking for space that may become available so that the temporary buildings aren't necessary because you can use those space in nearby buildings contiguously, not some other time, but at the same time. But that would be a decision that doesn't have to be made today. If suddenly an agency is moving from a building across the street, you could use that space instead of putting temporaries in. But that's not a decision, seems to me, for this committee. I appreciate, Mr. Chair, that the Speaker and the President have brought this matter to this committee. I would strongly suggest that the committee stay involved in the process as this discussion proceeds. I would suggest that the extent to which it's possible that the members who are likely to be here next year are also brought into the loop and kept in the loop so that they at least understand what it is that the committee and that the presiding officers are planning, so that when they have to make a decision of the go or no-go decision, they'll be in a position to be comfortable about that. And I think that's really a comment on Senator Johnson's comment earlier. And thank you, Mr. Chair, for allowing me the extra time. Appreciate it.
Other questions, comments, concerns, criticisms? Yes, Representative Berger, please.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'm struck by Senator Johnson's comment that there's a whole host of information. Some people have high level how we got here. Some have none how we got there. I would suggest that I be replaced by someone who will be ongoing on this committee, and I would suggest that the presiding officers come together with a plan for this specific committee and how information will be distributed and what our decision points will be and what the vote, sort of how we will conduct that. This is not a committee that is usual, and I think that it needs a process that is understood by all the people on it and an information flow that is consistent and cogent, and I think that would help it more than anything else, so that as I leave and take a whole bunch of knowledge with me as to how we got here, that the person who next sits in this seat has a way of getting up to speed and understanding when they're going to vote, what they're going to vote on, and how that process is going to be derived going forward. I think that would help these folks more than anything, is to know who's making the decision and when it's going to be made and how that process is going to be. Because when we talked about the master plan in Mr. Wilhelm's committee, we talked about the importance of this committee as a decision-making body. So this committee needs to get together on how it's going to make, how it's the process by which it is going to get to that decision-making. That's my suggestion. And replace me with somebody else.
Well, I don't know about that.
Who's going to be here for the long run?
Yes, Senator Gerard, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Colleagues, I actually think this is the process we have to do in order to get the bid. I mean, this is what we're actually getting here, is the bid or the finality of how much this is actually going to cost. Now, the question of how much it's going to cost, I have to tell you, it's a lot of money, and the bonding capacity, and there's going to be a lot of questions come into play. I may very well be a no vote, but I do think that we have to move forward on the premise that we're either going to use the PUC building for the fairgrounds building, and then that allows us at least to come up with the specifics of how much the bond's going to be. If you do, if you wait to do the bond, that bond capacity stays on the books for that whole period of time, and it really fouls things up. When we approved OHSU, even though we're not going to take the money till 2016, that stays on our bond capacity. So I think it behooves us to at least allow the bidding process to move forward. I don't necessarily agree with the fact that the big picture of spending the money, but in order to get to that question, I think we have to move forward. So I just want to make it very clear that when the bonding question comes up, Fred Gerard may be a no vote, but Fred Gerard believes that we need to move forward from this position as outlined.
For the comments, concerns, questions, Representative McClain.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I apologize that my questions have elicited such anxiousness with regards to how we're spending money right now. But I appreciate that we know the decision-making process a little bit better. It does seem like the PUC route building is the better alternative. What I don't believe is wise is spending money to actually renovate it when we haven't made the decision to relocate. And we're not going to make the decision to relocate until we make the decision to refurbish the capital. And it seems to me the wiser decision and a better stewardship of what might be appropriated funds, I'm unclear about that, is to first make the decision that we're going to renovate the capital. And now that we know what the alternatives, and as part of that decision would be appropriation of money to relocate us. So I certainly want to thank you and the speaker for your time and the staff time in finding out what our options are, and at least go on the record. It seems like the PUC site is the better one.
Further comments, concerns, questions? All right. What I'm going to do is ask, I'm going to make my statement, and then you can enter the record how you feel in terms of moving. I'm going to exactly the words I'm going to use, so what's it for you. Based on the information we've received here today, the preference for the temporary capital is the PUC building with the State Fair as the backup location. Are there objections to that for whatever reasons that you want to put on the record now officially? Any individual who wishes to make an objection to that, on the record now, whatever, please feel free to do so. All right. Yes, Representative McClain, please.
My objection goes only to the expenditure of funds to actually improve this site prior to us knowing if we're even going to move there.
Okay. Also, now let me go to the next category. Are there any comments, though, that you want to put on the record officially regarding what I've just read? Please feel free to do so. Senator Betsy Johnson, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I perhaps speak for a number of us that the suggestions to broaden the information loop is imperative. I think there are many unresolved questions. The disparity of information makes it difficult for some of us to play catch-up ball. I like the word stewardship that Leader McClain used. In order to exercise due diligence, I feel that many of us need a much more in-depth briefing on what will have to be redone that was already done, what the costs are, timelines, all of the things that Representative Smith mentioned. And so if there is a mechanism to help some of us come up to speed, I would very much appreciate employing that so that we can make an informed decision when the bonding question comes in 2015.
Senator Fred Gerard, please.
I'd just like to reiterate what I said before is I think this is a necessary step in order to get the bid so that we have a project that we can take before capital construction. When we do that, because of the size and magnitude of this, I may very well be a no vote. But I do believe that this is the prudent way to move forward. And whenever there's a major project, there's a cost outlined as far as trying to put the project together, and that's what we've agreed to. And like I said, the cost might be more than I'm willing to spend.
Representative Barnhart, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't think any of us are committed to spending unlimited amounts of money on a project we don't understand clearly. I think what the legislature has already committed to is to prepare a place to move and a plan for the renovation so that the next legislature can actually decide whether to do it or not. That's what I support, and I appreciate the chair's position, and I certainly agree with the earlier statement you made that the PUC would be their first choice and the fairgrounds the second.
Further? Senator Fred, Ted Ferrioli, please.
Mr. President, I may have been uncharacteristically quiet to this point, but I've really appreciated hearing all of the comments from the committee, and more than that, I appreciate the speaker and the president asking this committee for an advisory vote, since this is really, I think, within their authority to decide. But I've had the benefit of the 2 years of briefings and intense study on this issue, along with Senator Beyer and members of the Capital Foundation who've been following this issue and, to a large extent, have been leading the way toward the decision tree that leads us here. I voted for the appropriation to do the assessment because you can't ask people to make a $300 million commitment without assessing the physical properties and the engineering and architectural potentials. And that's what we've done. That's why there's holes in the walls and the floors and the ceilings. And we learned some things that perhaps had we known during the renovation of the wings, we might have done differently. But the commitment to do that assessment is what brings us to this advisory vote. I agree with my colleagues who believe that the PUC building is the superior alternative. And the comments of all of our colleagues here points to the fact that a decision to actually expend the dollars that will come to us in the 2015 session is a bigger decision than people perhaps have assessed or are anticipating. It is going to be a big decision to make. And members who are going to be asked to make that decision better have all the information they need. This is the way to get it. So I'm perfectly comfortable with the assessment process to date and the choice of the PUC building going forward in terms of relocation. It's in the neighborhood. It's right across the street. I also share the concerns of Senator Girard and House Republican Leader Michael McLean about the actual decision to pull the trigger and spend the $300 million, because I think that's for openers. I think by the time we get the full assessment on this building and actually open it up, tunnel underneath it, and have it shored up, and have the whole front of the building removed on the north side, literally, an open space, we're going to learn the true extent of the retrofit necessary to make this building seismically secure. The difference in Utah was they had built their house upon a rock, literally and figuratively. Here, we have built our house upon a swamp. And, you know, we've already dug into the floor and struck water. That's above the cement. So I just think it's going to be a real exploratory and revelatory opening. But, Mr. President, I voted to do the assessment. I support the decision to go to the PUC building as the best available option at this moment, and I appreciate the fact that you have asked for our advisory vote. The next thing, of course, is to ask the public where they think the legislature should go. And I'm interested to hear them tell us where they think we should go. That's coming.
It won't be
for the comments, the questions.
I'm sure I want to hear that one.
I just want to make a final statement. I was very much taken by the remarks of Representative Vicki Berger when she reminded me and all of us that this is an at-will or on-call committee. But she urged in the strongest possible terms, as she sadly leaves us, that we change that for purposes of this project. And I think, and I need to talk to Speaker about this, and I don't mean to set you up, Madam Speaker, I think that's an absolute must from now on out. We need, she's absolutely right, that for this project, we need an absolute standard, well-forecasted meeting, regular meeting time, so that the members of this committee, every single member of this committee, can access literally what's going on in this project, not just on an on-call or at-will basis. And here, on a regular basis, whatever that means, and I realize we all now return to our homes in a bit, we can always do it by conference call or on the phone or other things, they hear where we're at, what we're doing, and why we're doing it. And that means all the players in this project, and by terms of the consultants, et cetera, as well as timelines. So I will talk to the Speaker about that. I do think that is something that I've gleaned from the input here today, as well as the many other things that you've all put forward here, and I mean that. But it's the only way I know to make sure that each of you are getting the kind of feeling you need to have that you're keeping up with this thing on this committee, because this is the committee. This is a very serious committee. This is the lead committee on this project. It truly is the Legislative Administration Committee. And I'm not trying to set anybody up, but if it wants to be on this committee, this is the First Wave Omaha Beach Committee. Not that that was a very good day for some of the First Wave, but... So I do want to assure you that look for us to have regular meetings for our legislative administration regarding this project in terms of whatever the future holds. So with that, other comments, questions, concerns, or criticisms? Well, I thank you for being willing to come here today, my members, and being willing to hear the presentation. Thank you for the presenters, and we will be in touch. This meeting is now closed.
Mr. Chair.